when, yeah, and that's a good excellent example of that with Anatta Pindika, who was the layman who was he invited the Buddha to go to Savatthi to establish a monastery there, establish the Jetas Grove, where the Buddha lived for, he lived there longer than any other place that he resided in his life, in his life as a monastic, as a monk. And so he was a monk for 45 years. I think he was about 19 years at the Jetas Grove. And when and Anatta Pindika served the Sangha, looked after the Sangha, supported the Sangha all through that time, and he of course as he got older and he became ill, and toward the end of his life then he invited the Venerable Sariputta to come. He said he requested Sariputta to visit him. He had a particular affinity to Sariputta. And then Sariputta went to the residence of the householder of Anatta Pindika with the Venerable Ananda as his attendant. Having gone there, he sat down to see, blah, 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 and asked Anatta Pindika, "I hope you are getting well, householder. I hope you are comfortable. I hope your painful feelings are subsiding and not increasing, and that their subsiding, not their increase, is apparent." And then Anatta Pindika responds, "Venerable Sariputta, I am not getting well. I am not comfortable. My painful feelings are increasing, not subsiding. Their increase and not their subsiding is apparent. Just as if a strong man were splitting my head open with a sharp sword, so too violent winds cut through my head. I am not getting well." And just as if, and goes, describes his discomfort, getting tough leather strap wrapped around my head as a headband, so too there are painful feelings in my head. And just as if a skilled butcher or his apprentice were to carve up an ox's belly with a sharp butcher's knife, so too violent winds are carving up my belly. I am not getting well. And just as if two strong men were to seize a weaker man by both arms, roast him over a pit of hot coals, so too there is a violent burning in my body. I am not getting well. I am not comfortable. And then he said, and Sariputta, "Then, householder, you should train thus. I will not cling to the eye, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the eye. You should train yourself thus. I will not cling to the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, the mind, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the mind. You should train yourself thus. I will not cling towards the internal sense bases, the external sense bases, in the sense that I'm not clinging to sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and mind objects, and my consciousness will not be dependent on that. Not be dependent on the eye consciousness, not dependent on the contact that I'm making through the six senses." So it's just parsing out the six senses and everything that one experiences through the senses. He says, "I'll not cling to the earth element, the water element, the fire element, the air element, the space element, and the consciousness element." So those fundamental elements. I'll not cling to those elements, and any consciousness that arises dependent will not be dependent on those things. And it's not be going externally. And then same with not cling to material form, feeling, perceptions, mental formations, consciousness, the five khandhas. So the Buddha's going, Sariputta's going through these different bases of our experience. And I will not cling to this world, my consciousness will not be dependent on this world. I will not cling to the world beyond, and my consciousness will not be dependent on the world beyond. Thus you should train yourself. I will not cling to what is seen, heard, sensed, cognized, encountered, sought after, and examined by the mind, and my consciousness will not be dependent on that. When this was said, the householder Anathapindika wept and shed tears. Then the Venerable Ananda asked him, "Are you foundering, householder? Are you sinking?" "I am not foundering, Venerable Ananda. I am not sinking. Although I have long waited upon the teacher and bhikkhus worthy of esteem, never before have I heard such a talk on the Dhamma." So I'd say, just delighting in the Dhamma that was taught, and saying that those are, and he said, generally this not, don't teach that to lay people. But the say, well, that it'd be great if the that there will be, there are clansmen, and said, well, Venerable Sariputta, let such talk on the Dhamma be given to lay people clothed in white. There are clansmen with little dust in their eyes who are wasting away through not hearing such talk on the Dhamma. There will be those who will understand the Dhamma. Then after giving the householder Anathapindika this advice, Venerable Sariputta and Venerable Ananda rose from their seats and departed. Soon after they had left, the householder Anathapindika died and reappeared in the Tusita heaven, which is quite a higher heavenly realm. And he was a stream enter. So he and then when the night was well advanced, Anathapindika, now a young god, a beautiful appearance, went to the Blessed One, went to the Buddha, illuminating the whole of Jeta's Grove. After paying homage to the Blessed One, he stood at one side and addressed the Blessed One in standards, and he praises the Jeta's Grove and the Sangha and the Buddha, the aspects of virtue and nobility that have been cultivated there. Of course, he gave the place, so he's just delighting in it, and that such goodness has been a part of that. And And then praising Sariputta in particular. Sariputta has reached the peak in virtue, peace, and wisdom's ways. Any bhikkhu who has gone beyond, at best, can only equal him. And so then that was yeah, when the, and after that, say the next day, then the Buddha tells the bhikkhus and the Sangha about this, what happened in this Deva showing up and the verses that he that the Deva said, and then the Buddha said that was and that is what that young god has said. Then the young god, thinking, the teacher has approved of me, paid homage to me, keeping me on his right, he vanished at once. When this was said, the Venerable Ananda said to the Blessed One, "Surely, Venerable Sir, that young god must have been Anathapindika, for the householder Anathapindika had perfect confidence in the Venerable Sariputta." "Good, good, Ananda. As far as reasoning goes, you have drawn the right conclusion." That young god was Anathapindika, no one else. That was what the Blessed One said. Venerable Ananda was satisfied and delighted in the Blessed One. That's a beautiful discourse. And that sense of, yeah, again, the bringing those teachings at the time of death are important. Qualities, so that creating wholesome conditions around a person who is ill, who is dying, are the, let's say, us, whether it's us as monastics or as lay people, as friends, as relatives of people who are dying, then that trying to create some kind of peaceful, reflective atmosphere, and trying to see that when one can, in different ways, seeding that with reflections, and you know sometimes that's possible, sometimes it's not. But that again, I think Jeannie and Debbie will be sort of fleshing that out a bit more later.